We're still in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. And we'll be very fortunate if we get through 5. And I think that's very self-explanatory. Others, not so. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again. You've given us this opportunity to come together, to worship you, to praise you, and to lift up that glorious name of Jesus. And we thank you, Jesus, that you went to the cross and you finished everything for us. And now we can rest and trust in you to bring about our lives the way they're supposed to be, the way you want us to be. So tonight, Lord, we ask by the power of your Spirit that you speak to our hearts and our minds, and only your words will be heard and nothing else. So we glorify you this night. We praise you. We give you all the glory, all the praise. And we thank you through all of this and for this because of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. I'll read 1 through 5 and then we'll try to expound just a little bit on it. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespasses, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. We all need spiritual help, don't we? We make a lot of progress when we're walking in the flesh, right? Taking in a fault. We all know people that have. I know one very personal. Lived with him for 77 years. When somebody's overtaken or caught, what's our attitude? What should our attitude be? Excuse me? Exactly. Compassion? Well, compassion will always be there if love is there. Always. So, usually it's judgment. Looking for some way to rail on them. And that usually comes with self-pride. Conceit. Thinking we're above that. We would never do that. And there's certain things that I would never do. But there's certain things I know I have done. So our attitude should be compassion, love, and understanding, restoration, help, not ridicule, not try to drive him into the ground, make it worse than it is. Because a true believer, when he falls, when he sins, he is truly hurting inside. And everybody in this room knows that. If you're born again and you sin, and it's twice as bad when you get caught, I mean, you're already caught in the Lord, but if somebody in the fellowship catches you, it makes it twice as bad, and you feel twice as bad. But you feel bad just for the sake that you failed Christ. You failed the Lord, and it happens so often in our walk. And not just sin, out-and-out sin, but how about when we gossip about one another? You ever gossip about somebody? Yeah, we used to do that too. I got to tell you about so-and-so so we can pray for him. Yeah. Our attitude should be of love and compassion because none of us are perfect. And we never will be perfect till we close our eyes for the last time on this side. So our attitude should be an attitude the same attitude that Christ had when he saved me or when he saved you. It shouldn't be any different. I remember that night vividly, and I remember how I was for months. Arlene and I would lay in that bed at night and just read the scripture. We didn't watch TV for what, honey? Almost a year? Really? And it was wonderful. But then things change. Then you get real smart. You know the word. I don't even have to look. I can quote it. And everybody thought that was great. And before you know it, this little 7 1/4 starting to get bigger and bigger and bigger. Before you know it, I was wearing a 9.5. But God knows how to deal with us, doesn't he? So we must always remember that somebody in the fellowship, when they fall, when they get caught, our attitude should be the attitude of Christ. To love one another, to help, to restore, to strengthen, and not beat up. Amen? Spiritually restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. That restore, in the original Greek, it was like setting a broken bone. Or as in Matthew, it was talking about mending nets. But it's to mend, to restore, truly restore, to fix, and not just let them wander out there in their sin or in whatever it might be, but to help, to restore, especially when we know firsthand. Now, there's a big difference if they don't repent and accept that restoration, then that's a whole entirely different story. Then we have to go with Matthew, what is it here? Matthew 18 or 1 Corinthians 5, where if they don't repent, you go to them one-on-one, right? Then if they don't, then you take somebody with you. Then if they don't, then you bring it before the church. You bring it before the fellowship. But first of all, we should try that restoration. We don't just skewer them right on the spot. Help them. But if they don't repent, then you have to do what the Scriptures tells us to do. Take them out to the desert. That's a good one. And where are you going to take them, Bob? Well, I was going to say that, but I figured you've been here longer than I have, so. But really, our attitude, check your attitude. And just remember what we've been dealing with now here for a whole month, walking in the Spirit, being guided by the Spirit, living in the Spirit and not in the flesh. But like I say, it's a daily struggle. It's a daily struggle. But we must truly love one another. That's a commandment. That's a commandment. And it doesn't matter who it is. Right, Mike? We got to love one another. We have to. And that's hard sometimes. Just ask Arlene. Lest you also be tempted. Spirit of gentleness. If we are walking and being led by the Spirit, then the gentleness will be there. And Galatians, what's it say in 5:23? Gentleness, self-control, against such there is no law. And how is that produced in our lives? By walking in the Spirit. By not letting ourselves be controlled by our fleshly desires to retaliate or to put ourselves above somebody else, no matter who they are or what they've done. Bear one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens. We all have burdens, don't we? We don't all have wealth, but we all have burdens. We don't all have talent, but we all have burdens. Right? We've all got a lot of things that other people don't have, but we all got burdens. Some worse than others. Some harder to bear than others. Everybody in this room's got some burden. Maybe some have a few extra ones. But we should bear one another's burdens when we can. In James, it talks about that. Pray for one another. If they're sick, pray for them. The prayers of the saints, they'll get healed. And share your sins with one another. No place in the Bible it says to tell other people your sins. People try to do that, though. An article I was reading about, it was either Chuck Smith or Warren Wiersbe. They were talking about these three ministers. They got together, and they're going to share each other's sins, so they'll feel good inside and everything. So the one minister says, I've had this problem with booze for years and years and years. I keep this bottle in my desk drawer, and every now and then I'll take a nip of it. He was going on and on. He says, I feel terrible. Well, what am I going to do? And the other one says, I have a problem with women. He says, I've had it for long time. And the other one says, I got a problem with gossip, and I can't wait to get out to tell everybody what we've been talking about. Be careful. Your sin is between you and God. Amen? Now, if I have offended Bob, Bob should come to me and tell me, or vice versa. That's an entirely different thing. Okay? Or if I said something to offend somebody, if they offended me or whatever, that should be taken care of in the right attitude again. But when it comes to sins, between you and God, don't go to somebody with a collar turned around or something like that. That's between you and the Lord, because He is faithful and just to forgive us. Amen? And so that's where our sins go. But these things that we do, sometimes intentional, sometimes unintentional, a lot of times I'll be joking around and I offend somebody and I don't realize it, you know, and I want them to come and tell me, because sometimes my mouth gets me in trouble, not intentionally, but that's just the way I am, you know. And I like to have fun. I like to enjoy people. Sometimes they take it too far, don't I, Pastor? But anyway, those things will happen. But it's truly, if we're truly allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, if we are, if we're walking in the Spirit, doing our best to walk in the Spirit, listening to Him, then when these things come up, immediately we will know that we've offended somebody. All right? Then it's up to us to go to that person and ask them to forgive you. Okay? But when a brother or sister truly gets caught, they fall in sin, don't crucify them. Jesus loves them, and that's why He gave Himself. Because we are frail. Sometimes we think we're pretty strong, we're pretty spiritual. If we are spiritual, then we're listening to the Holy Spirit to help restore that person back to the walk, to where they should be. Sometimes it takes a while. But if they're truly repentant, then the compassion and the love has to be there. Amen? For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is not, he deceives himself. Romans 12:3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to anyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Now, this is the only other one, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, that shows such humility. A man, Apostle Paul, with the stature that he had and the education that he had, and yet he still was humble enough to say these words to us, that if he can be that way, then that's the way we should walk. That's the way we should think. That should be our attitude, that there's always somebody better than me, somebody better than you. None of us should think that we're above anything. Anything that Pastor wants us to do in the church, we should never be above anything that he wants done for the glory of the Lord, for the benefit of the fellowship, for the benefit of the building, or whatever it might be. Do you understand that? The more we are submitted to others and humble ourselves and know that because of Christ and only because of Christ, we can live this life with enjoyment, with peace and tranquility in our souls, even though the world thinks we're foolish, the world thinks we're mammy-pammies, but spiritually we're strong because we're allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us with this life that we're supposed to live for one another and for the world to see. That the world will see that we truly have this real love for one another, this real humility, this really servant's heart to serve one another and to serve them. But that only comes when being humble and being lowly spirit. Amen? And it can be if we're walking in the Spirit, we're guided by the Spirit, we're listening to the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:5. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? Then 2 Corinthians 3:5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Everything in our lives, everything that we do, everything that we say, every physical thing that we do, it's because of God. Because of the Holy Spirit living in us, giving this, what little strength some of us have left. I thank the Lord daily for the strength that I have. Some of the things I can't do like I used to, but I can still do something. And that's only by His grace. And I thank Him for it. Amen? It's always Him and not ourselves. Until we get that truly sunk into our soul and our spirit, that we are nothing without Him. When we are in ourselves, we are nothing. Nothing. We're worms. And that's biblical. We're worms without Him. Anything we say or we do, it's only by His grace, His mercy, His love, and His sacrifice. Amen? Well, let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Romans 12:3, if I have it here. For I say, through the grace given to me, to anyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. I read that before. And it's apropos for this one. Self-deceived, self-deluded, self-centered. Self-deceived, self-deluded, and self-centered. That's what it is when we are thinking of ourselves and not of others. Thinking of others, truly, being led, we won't be self-deceived, we won't be self-deluded, and we won't be self-conceited. But He has to be first. That cross has to be what we focus on. If we focus on the cross and that finished work, then we truly can and will be led by the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is sharing with us what Christ is sharing with Him. Remember what He said? I must leave, but I will send you another Comforter. He will be with you. He will be with you, in you, and He will speak of me. So what Jesus is telling the Spirit tells us when we're listening. And He deals with each and every one of us individually. Each and every one of us individually. We're unique in His eyes. We're unique. And He has a special work for each and every one of us. Pastor's is different. Bob's is different. We're all different. But we each have a walk and a work that He's already prepared for us. And we're called to that. And all we have to do is listen. All we have to do is read. And as we read, He speaks to us loud and clear. And we can't miss His will for our lives. It's impossible to miss His will for our lives. All we have to do is read. And the first thing is, love one another. If we're loving one another, looking out for one another, restoring one another, He makes it very clear the next step, and the next step, and the next step. It's always others and not self. The perfect example is Jesus the Christ. He always thought Father first, others, and then very seldom Himself. Amen? No matter what He was doing, He always checked with the Father, then He made sure the others are being taken care of. Every time. Every time. And if you remember when He was with them, He provided them with everything. And when He said He was leaving, He says, get your sword, get your coats, and get your money, and go. But I still will be with you in the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Amen? But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Always, always when we are doing God's will, when we're doing the work that He wants us to do, then we can rejoice. But until then, be careful. Be listening. And don't let your conscience be your guide. Please, never let your conscience be your guide. The Holy Spirit that lives with you is your guide, okay? When you start looking at your conscience, then you're walking right back in the flesh, okay? For each one, this is verse 5, for each one shall bear his own load. We are called to share the gospel individually. And that's our calling. And sometimes it's hard, but it's still my calling. It's your calling. It's not somebody else's. So that's our load personally. And the Lord is with us and guiding us and helping us. Give us strength. Look what you guys have been going through long before we got here with this building and everything. But God has given the strength. God has given the wisdom. When God is first and you're trusting Him, He'll bring all these things together. But still, there were struggles going through it, right? Well, what do we got? One more week? Then struggles continue. But He will give us the strength. He will give us the fortitude. He will give us the wisdom when the wisdom is needed. Amen? So, but we still try to get ahead. But we all have our own, individually, loads to carry. I didn't say burden, did I? Because He didn't use the word burden. He used the word loads. So we all have that special part of our own selves that God is working individually to prepare and to fulfill what He wants in our lives. But the main thing is always to remember this. What's the second commandment? Excuse me? Love your neighbor. Don't beat him up. Make sure your attitude is the attitude that the Holy Spirit's speaking to you constantly, each and every day. The love. Love personified through the finished work of the cross. The finished work of the cross. It's only the finished work of the cross. We were saved through that shed blood, right? All we did was say, yes, Lord, forgive me, right? Okay? How do you get sanctified? Same way. You don't work for your sanctification. You didn't work for your salvation. So don't try to work for your sanctification. Rest in Him. Trust in Him. Remember, it is finished. We rest in Him. Make sure your attitude's right. And your attitude will be right if you're walking in the Spirit in love and compassion. Love and compassion. Love and compassion. Amen? We all fall, but we all can get up. Help one another to get up. And remember, never forget that He died for each and every one of us because we were what? That wasn't a trick question. Sin. Amen? And we still sin. Just remember, He who is in us is greater than anything else in our lives. He will guide us. He will direct us. But we must remain faithful and steadfast, allowing the Spirit to speak to us, even when we're mad at one another. Amen?